Welcome to the Ayahuasca Parents Podcast.
Yay.
Hello.
Hello.
Happy Tuesday, Mr. Joel.
Happy Tuesday, Miss Cammy.
It's the week before Christmas.
And all through the house? No?
Everyone was stirring.
Word.
All the kids are buzzing right now. They're so excited.
Give me my shit.
Yep. No, they're much more grateful than that.
Yeah, they're much great. More.
So I'll have to admit, I'm a little bit nervous about this podcast.
Why?
Because we're going to be talking about our relationship.
Oh, yeah. Our
relationship. And all the ebbs and flows.
Yeah, no big deal.
The ins and outs. The befores and after.
Yeah. I'd like to start off by saying, holy cow, you know, this is our 7th episode and like there's like 20 countries listening to us. It's awesome.
It's wonderful. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. It feels good to connect.
Totally.
Yep. And sort of a disclaimer, I think I've mentioned this before, with our podcast, it's to share. It's not to tell people how it is. Mm-hmm. If you don't do this, you won't ascend.
Nope. Yep.
If you don't do it this way and see it my way. Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, I could go on a little bit of a tangent about
spiritual
that.
Guru tangent.
Yeah, seriously. I have no tolerance for it anymore. I think I bought into that, you know, for way too long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And moral of the story is all the wisdom comes from inside.
It's an inside job. Mm-hmm. And I think it's helpful to share and, you know, gain a different perspective from other people.
Yeah.
I mean, like yesterday I went and one of the things that Joel and I do is we get our fascia restructured. It's something that we've been doing for over a year now, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's really helped me to release the body trauma that I've had,
yeah,
you know, out of my vibration. And his name's Kavik. And so when I was talking to Kavik yesterday, I mean, he had some great, you know, insights, was using words that I don't typically use. And we were talking really about like triggers or stressors and,
yeah,
you know, how we physically act out, you know, well, basically based on stressors and triggers, it instigates an emotional response clearly. Yeah. And then we act out kind of those triggers and stressors, you know, by way of how we were conditioned or taught when we were children.
Yeah.
To behave or to act. And we were talking about kind of remapping those, you know. So, you know, like you and I have done a lot of mind work, a lot of, you know, what's going through our mind, a lot of thinking work,
mm-hmm,
you know, sort of that kind of mastery or attempting to kind of reconfigure our neuroconnective pathways. It's one of the reasons why we like working with plant medicines.
Yeah.
And this is like another understand. This is like a way of applying all those things, but with the emotions.
Yeah.
Anyways, I haven't had a lot of time to think about it yet, but, you know, that what I'm trying to say is that's one of the benefits of sharing, you know, like if Kavik approached me like, now this is what you have to do, this is what I know, and this is how it's going to work with you,
mm-hmm,
you know, I'd be completely turned off, but.
He's a good example of somebody that's evolving,
mm-hmm,
just from going within, right?
Right.
Kind of spends a lot of. With what his profession is, I mean, I don't know if he talks to everybody as much as he talks to me. I doubt it. I think me and him talk way too much.
Mm-hmm.
I think he probably spends a lot of time working on people in dead silence. Probably,
right.
I think he's a body whisperer. So he's listening to something.
Yeah. He catches things, emotional things. Like he reads emotions.
Yeah.
But he's incredibly talented as far as, you know, being able to restructure fascia and really help people complete their trauma cycles, which, you know, that's one thing that I, when I started reading about your nervous system and how we store trauma in our nervous system. And, you know, I had tried one type of therapy that was a little bit like a hypno type of therapy.
Mm-hmm.
The hard thing is that most of us that have had post-traumatic stress disorder cannot be regressed. I don't know why that is. I don't know if it's just that the nervous system is fried. So we have a really hard time actually being able to be hypnotized. I don't like it anyways. People have attempted to regress me. And also because of my childhood and anyway.
I know there's people that swear by it. I don't think I'm regressible.
Yeah, it's just not. It's not for me. But here's the cool thing. And one of the podcasts we're going to do, it's going to be all about healing modalities.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's the coolest thing about you know, opening up to different ways of healing is that you can try so many things. And I mean, like, realistically, how many things do you think we've tried? Like over 50?
Yeah. And most of them didn't work for us.
Or they work a little bit, like essential.
Well, they work a little bit.
Like essential oils, for instance. I've met a ton of people that have had ridiculous results from essential oils. You know, in our house, it's like we use peppermint for headaches, you know, or nausea, you know, like, or I do a huff for the kids if anybody starts to get
chest cold or something.
Yeah, like any sort of congestion.
If I get my stupid hive on my lip, my little cold sore. Cold sore. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then there's a concoction for that.
Yeah, things like that. But like, there's other people that just swear by it. They're like, essential oils saved my life. Yeah. I can't say that, but I can say that it's definitely in my medicine bag.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people swear by holotropic breathing or the Wim Hof breathing.
I can totally see that. Yeah, 'cause I think that would work for me if I actually did it, if I had a practice.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like you find what works for you.
There's a million different ways to silence your brain.
Yeah. And so I think that's why I get so deterred with the gurus or the people that do the YouTube channels. And they're like, today I'm going to tell you everything about what you need to know. You know, I think a lot of times we think that if we're on a spiritual journey, then we've done our ego work, and there's a spiritual ego, but there's also the spiritual megalomaniacs too. And those are the ones that are usually front and center. Those are the ones that are usually, you know, doing their YouTube videos about, you know, I'm going to tell you how you're going to awaken, you know, or they start.
I like the ones that are like, you need to listen to me and get prepared for the flash or else you're going to be stuck in 3D while I'm in 5D.
Yeah. The event, you know, like, ugh. And again, this goes back to my litmus test because, you know, I think we love to label ourselves and we love to segregate ourselves and we love to discriminate against each other. One of my biggest pet peeves is a lot of the times what the spiritual gurus are talking shit about are people that were in the same position that I was at 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I can change in 10 years, then so can everyone else, you know? And so I have a really hard time with this idea of you're going to miss ascension or an event, right? Or an event. Yeah.
That's the problem I always have with religion, because religions compete against each other.
Right.
And so they'll tell you why their religion's better and why their religion, you know, is going to get you to heaven compared to all their other religions. And I'd always sit there and call bullshit, because I'm like, so you're saying there's this fake dude in the sky that supposedly we all come from him.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to figure out what's the true way to worship him or else we're going to hell. Yeah. That never made sense.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting that in the spiritual community, they're playing out the exact same
program.
Yeah. Programs and play really that mainstream religions are. And they don't even notice. Like in my religion, we kept on being told about the second coming. The second coming's coming. These are the latter days, you know?
Yeah.
And it's interesting, the spiritual community, it's that same program, different words, you know, like, oh, there's ascension. There's going to be an event. It's going to be a flash.
It's a top. Yeah. You know, remember that podcast I told you I listened to with Rogan when he was talking to the Game Changers guy?
Yeah.
So he was criticizing the acupuncture guy who debunked his film by basically his first criticism was like, you're using the same playbook as the meat industry, for example. So there was like three stats. One was benign, one was in favor of meat, and one was in favor of no meat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he took the benign stat where it didn't affect anybody, and he added his in favor of meat stat, and he's like 86% of blah, 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 blah. So he took the benign stat and added it to bulk up his figures.
Wow.
And that's, you know, and it's this same playbook where we take, you know, what fits our agenda and we puff it up, you know?
I just want to know the truth.
Yeah, that would be great.
I'm sort of in a place now where I don't even care what I have to break down anymore. You know, it's so exhausting trying to defend your beliefs. And
it's just not worth it.
Right. And I would just rather know what the truth is. But like Havoc pointed out something interesting, because I was telling him how embarrassed I was over, you know, some of the things that I've leaned into over the years. And he goes, that was a truth for you. in that time? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, you don't have to, you know, basically, I don't want to say make fun of it, or you don't have to be disparaging towards it just because it no longer resonates. You can just notice that that's where you were at in your state of consciousness in that time and space.
Yeah. Which is great advice.
Yeah. And then you move on, and it just, it feels better that way. It feels better than turning around and hating yourself or turning around and judging yourself.
Well, for me, I see similarities. So I see similarities to where I was 6 years ago to another dude where he's at now, and what I started to lean into 6 years ago and what he's leaning into now. There's things that we all have, similar things that come into our awareness as we mm-hmm. start to, you know, basically expand our consciousness and widen our, you know, what we can see.
Yeah. And get curious. You know?
So yeah, yeah, I mean, I think that's why I'm trying not to judge people on where they're at now. Cause especially if I was there yeah. at another point, and it's not, I'm not better cause I'm not there anymore. I'm just in a different place. You might've already traversed some crazy woo woo shit that I'm just tapping into. Who knows?
Well, and this idea that some, that people haven't awakened it, that's such an ego statement right there, because you know, we've had, interactions with individuals that I think the spiritual community or the New Age community would coin as third dimensional
mm-hmm.
that are way more aware about things like self-love, you know, yeah. or unconditional love than, I mean, I'm not even in those spaces, you know, and you know, I find it just kind of like a megalomaniac type yeah. of perspective to think that other people haven't awakened just because they're not leaning into the same things that I'm leaning into or that you're leaning into.
When I was playing poker back a couple of years ago with those group of guys, most of them were vets.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were dudes sitting there smoking cigarettes, drunk, and spewing some of like the most beautiful spiritual perspectives.
Right.
You know? And so, and for me, I was like, oh, I thought I was cool because I don't drink anymore. I thought I was better than everybody. No, that's just not what I do.
Right.
You know, I think it's everybody. It's, I mean, and the other thing is we're all connected.
Right.
You know? And so we're all moving to it. This, I've always felt like we're all moving to the same place. We're just all in different places, moving yeah. into the same place. There's many different paths to get to the end path.
Yeah. Thankfully. And again, that's mm-hmm. why it just invalidates anybody that wants to get up on a soapbox and start talking about
yeah.
what things mean for everyone, as if that's what we're all going to have happen. Yeah, or
there's
see.
Like 7 billion paths on this planet, period.
Yeah.
Even our kids, who are certainly steered by where we're at, they're still going to find their own path.
Yeah. Well, and for me now, that's exciting. It's like, yeah. oh, I can't wait to see, you know, what kind of ahas and downloads that they have. And, you know, I learned so much. Yeah. from that, just opening up and not judging people, because I think we've all figured it out that your judgment of others says more about you than it does about anybody else.
Totally.
And that we only see in others what we have within ourselves. And I can prove this by, you know, think about a mortal enemy that you have, right?
Yeah.
Somebody loves that person.
Right.
So somebody's seeing something different than you're seeing.
Right.
How is that possible?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, that's just my 2 cents.
No, I mean, it's good to, it's probably a good reminder for most people, because as your mind starts to open up, and one of the first things you do is you start judging people around you, which is normal.
That is a great mastery tool though. Is
yeah.
that when you realize that your reality is a reflection of what's happening within yourself, you know, and you realize that your judgments are really about you, that person's just being an incredible mirror for you.
Yeah.
You can actually use that tool to really guide you in what you need to see within yourself.
Yeah, totally.
You know, like when you go to the grocery store and you just randomly start, you know,
calling everybody fat.
Or yeah,
because that's what I did. Not to just take it down to the lowest level, but I was like, why are everybody here fat? And then I was like, oh, it's because I feel fat.
Yeah,
which is true.
Or yeah, or that's how you think about yourself. Mm-hmm. Or it could go even deeper that you think that that's acceptable, that
yeah
that's okay to judge people that way. I mean, you could, it really depends on how deep you want to go in your self-mastery. You know, I like listening to people, two women in particular, talk about a mutual friend, because these women are literally just like projecting on each other. They're using the friend as a mirror to see what they need to see within themselves, but you know, of course, most of the time they're not conscientious yeah. of that. But I love it. I love listening to it, because you actually can learn so much about somebody when they're judging somebody else.
Yeah, that's a good point.
you know, and I've had people say to me, well, I don't, you know, I'm not judging. This is an observation. Well, let me tell you something. Okay. First of all, we all judge and we all have opinions. That's just who we are because we're human. Judgments are, or I should say an opinion, an observation. I'll get the right word. An observation is like that shirt is orange. The minute that you say that, that shirt is a bright orange, you know, that shirt is an ugly orange.
Right.
That's a judgment.
Yeah.
So inject opinion equals judgment. Observation is, you know, literally just very benign.
Damn, yeah. I feel like we jumped in this podcast like hot and heavy.
I know. I like it. It's like, oh, psh. Yep. Well, so speaking of the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
We wanted to talk and open up a little bit about our relationship and how we've managed to survive evolving and working with plant medicines and shifting and changing so much because Joel and I are completely different people than we were 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So we met in like September of, I don't even know when it was.
2004?
Yeah, 2004.
Yeah.
And I'd been previously married, had two kids, divorced by the time I was 25. I believe I was 28 when I met you. Yeah, I was 28 because I'm 43 now.
Yeah. Good math.
Yeah, you're welcome. I may have done this math in the shower
before?
So yeah. I wouldn't get it wrong.
I would have got it wrong because I was trying not to be 30 when I met you.
That's right.
I don't want to be 30.
You just barely turned 30.
Yeah, so. I didn't want to be 30.
Yeah, but anyway, I had dated a lot of guys. You had dated a lot of girls, mm-hmm. and I mean, really, full disclosure, like Joel and I, we met on Match.com.
Mm-hmm.
We just started to kind of like text or instant message, which then moved to texting, and then at one point, Joel called me, and from the minute that I heard your voice, I knew you were going to be my husband.
Well, as much as I like hearing that, because it's sweet, I had the same thoughts.
Yeah.
And I have a witness.
Yep. And then we actually like talked and everything for mm-hmm. a few weeks. You were managing bands and one of your band's vans broke down. So we talked for like 3 weeks while you were trying to...
I had to drive to the other side of the country and pick them up.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we met. And from the minute that we met, we really haven't been apart.
Nope.
It was... the weirdest, strangest thing. In fact, I remember that night, you know, that our first date, really.
Mm-hmm.
And it just felt so weird to say goodbye.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, you know, what's going on here? So that was September. We moved in together. I think it was like April of the next year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then we got pregnant and had Jaden. And then about when Jaden was about a year old, we got married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rock and roll style.
Yeah. And our relationship, has been incredibly tumultuous.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you?
I mean, it started out really good. And then, you know, life happens or something. I don't know, you know,
pain, I think pain. And then I think for me in particular, you know, it's like, you know, the alcoholism became kind of a big deal. I was drinking more.
You kind of felt like having a kid mess with your hormones, right?
Yeah. Yeah. With Jaden.
Yeah.
But I mean, we're not going to go into a lot of detail, but we
fought a lot.
Yeah. Yelled, we fought a lot.
Screamed.
There's been both domestic violence and infidelity in our relationship, in our marriage. And, so we had some really, really deep wounds that we created.
Yeah.
Joel and I were big lovers, but man, we were also really big fighters.
Yeah.
And, you know, created a lot of damage. At least I think, think so. But then we were also always a really good team and best friends.
Yeah. We kind of took the baggage, I think, and stuffed it. And then the baggage would creep out and then big fights would
ensue.
And then
yeah.
stuff it again. And
big egos.
Yep.
But that's fair, right?
Oh, yeah.
Both wanting to be right all the time, needing to be right.
Well, I think, and we're both kind of alphas.
Yeah.
You know, so... both very
strong personalities,
controlling,
incredibly opinionated.
Yeah.
So this was a lot of what we were, you know, before ayahuasca.
Right.
There wasn't a lot of soft tenderness. I mean, there was a lot of, like, I love still, you know, taking care of everyone, taking care of you. Mm-hmm. But I would not have ever considered myself as soft.
No, I wouldn't either.
Yeah. And I never would have thought that that was an actual quality.
Right. Yeah.
I think that we held grudges.
Right.
I mean, we were very conditionally loving.
Paranoid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Unforgiving.
Yep.
What am I missing? Pick all the bad things.
Pick all the bad things. I think you covered. Yeah.
But I think we weren't so different than everybody else. Definitely not very different from how we were raised.
I think a lot of people have the skeletons in their closet that we had in our relationship closet. I think a lot of people have them to certain degrees, some worse, some better, you know, but I think, I wouldn't really say we were completely abnormal. I would say that we were
typical
and barely functional.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I would say that we, were very hard workers. We still are really hard workers. But our life doesn't revolve around working now.
No.
Like it used to.
Right.
And, you know, we've always had this incredible bond.
Mm-hmm.
And, we're going to spare you some of the stories as to why we are, but for the most part, we're just, you know, we're a match.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I was really naive after getting back from. Well, I had so many incredible ahas after psilocybins. I feel like I became much softer.
Mm-hmm.
After ayahuasca, I became really soft.
Mm-hmm.
And did a lot of, you know, we were just doing our own personal work. And I think at some point, though, there were some things happening in our relationship. Like, I mean, this is kind of TMI, but we're all adults here. So, I mean, Joel and I have always enjoyed very active sex life, like 3 to 5 times a week. You know, before ayahuasca. After ayahuasca, for whatever reason, my libido just turned right off.
Yeah.
And that created a lot of, you know, tension in our relationship, and a lot of trying to understand why. What was happening? Was it a hormonal thing? Was it, you know, were we not supposed to be together? You know, did we not want to be together? Like, what was happening? And really what I think it was is a big signal for us to pay attention to the relationship. It was like, okay, you guys are about 18 months into integration, personal integration. You want your relationship to, you know, survive.
Yeah. You gotta do some work on it.
It has to evolve.
Yeah.
And so there were some hard times.
Yeah.
How many times did I make you move out?
I don't know. A lot. Until I sold our camping trailer. I didn't have anywhere to go.
I feel so bad. So like one of the things I learned.
I mean, you know, it's not like you were, I don't want you to sound, it's not like you were mean. I wanted, you know, I would volunteer. Like you were basically like, look, you're going or I'm going. Yeah. Okay. I'll go.
Yeah.
You know, cause I felt like it'd be more important for you to be around the kids, you'd miss the kids would miss you,
mm-hmm.
You know, not that I'm disposable, but.
Well, and I think it was just like, overwhelming, you know, you're doing all this personal, you know, deconstruction, you're reevaluating all your belief systems, you're trying to integrate all of these incredible perspectives, but takes time, you know, it takes time to integrate everything.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you're not clicking.
We both work from home, so we're around each other all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, one of the other things was I think we were we had to, you know, we needed some time to be by ourselves and think.
Yeah. But I think also, so we didn't really have the capacity or the emotional capacity to really even focus on, you know, our relationship. And I think it was strange. It was almost like we were all of a sudden embarrassed. At least that's my interpretation. Like all of a sudden we were embarrassed to have conversations about the things that we need, that we saw that were deal breakers or boundaries that we, like for me, I know I had a lot of boundaries that I needed to establish with you so that I felt more like a sovereign person.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, and I was having a hard time communicating those because, you know, for the longest time I was afraid that if I did that it would create a fight and I didn't want to fight.
Yeah.
So a lot of what we've done,
I also wasn't a good person to have those conversations with because the way our background was, I postured a lot because, you know, I wanted to guard what I had to say and make sure nothing came back at me. So I wasn't real open either,
mm-hmm.
you know, which you're not going to talk about anything and one of you is not open.
Yeah. You know? And it's a funky place to be when you, you know, like Joel's my best friend. I can't imagine life without you, but beyond that, like you're my family.
Well, thank you. You're my family too.
Yeah, seriously. And I had this aha moment. This is really, I think, for me, a pivotal point because I had this aha moment where I realized that, you know, even if I was fighting with like my older son, who's almost 22, I wouldn't, or if I was irritated with him, I'd never divorce him. I'd never be like, you know, get out or, you know, I don't want to have a relationship with you. And I kept on thinking, well, why is it okay to cross that boundary with Joel? I mean, like, we're great. We literally are 95% on the same page. 95% of the time.
Yeah.
You know, and so we had this portion though aspect of our relationship that just was not.
I'd kind of say our relationship at the time was the most devolved part of our being. You know, where everything else is getting so much better than our relationship's just sitting over there in the corner.
And it was so confusing. I mean, weren't you confused and like wanting to connect and not knowing how to connect and the way that we used to do things, you know, before they weren't working and then that created insecurities, you know? And I think what we ended up doing was really, it's only been about a year. The end of 2018, we had it out. Like we tore down the rest of our relationship.
Yeah.
And I think it was the very best thing that we could do. We realized at some point that what we had done on an individual level, which is sort of tearing ourselves down and sort of this rebirth, that if the relationship was going to survive, that that's what we had to do.
Yeah.
And this is usually where people get a divorce. Yeah. Instead of realizing that out of the ashes comes something brand new, this is where it's about 7 years. There's like every 7 years, if you've been in a long-term relationship, that someone wants to bolt or things start feeling really funky. And it kind of makes sense because the more I think about this, you know, physiologically, our bodies, even our bodies are like on a cellular level are not even the same as they were 7 years previous. So
yeah,
like you're literally a different person. It would make sense that the relationship then gets to re-evolve and you get to reinvent it like every, you know, 5 to 7 years.
Well, good. Then when we reinvent it in the next five, it should be not as awful. We'll reinvent it better.
I don't know how to take that.
I don't either. Well, I think reinventing it this time was rough.
Yeah.
It was rough.
Well, because we had to find, first of all, we had two experiences that were very much intertwined. Something horrible that Joel had done to me, something horrible that I had done to Joel.
Right.
And we literally had to come to a place where we forgave each other.
Real forgiveness.
Real forgiveness. But the crazy thing about that was, correct me if I'm wrong, really had nothing to do with forgiving you. It had to do with me forgiving me.
Correct.
And you forgiving you.
Same. Yep.
And that is so much harder than finding forgiveness for somebody else.
Right.
And it was a really fucked up place to be because that just takes time.
Yeah.
And you can't push that, you know?
Yeah.
It's like grieving. You just can't. You just got to feel everything. And when you're ready it'll happen. And so I don't want to say that I found that first or that you found it first, but we did not find it at the same time.
No.
And it just took some time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was hard to say the least. It was hard.
Mm-hmm. And then came the compassion. It was like, okay, so we found the forgiveness for ourselves. Right. For these events that took place. And then it was trying to find compassion, which, you know, you don't want to be the partner that finds the forgiveness and then finds the compassion for the self when the other person isn't even finding the forgiveness, only because when you're building compassion for yourself, it looks like you're trying to make excuses for what you've done.
Fair.
So there was a lot of going inward at that point with you and I.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it was the beginning of this year. And I said, basically, I'm done doing this. And we're either going to figure this shit out or or we're going to get a divorce and co-parent and be best friends.
Right.
Yeah. And so we went to marriage counseling, which I like to call a communication specialist.
I wouldn't really call marriage counseling.
He's a marriage counselor.
Is he really?
Yeah. Oh, come on.
He just seemed like he was, he seems like the type of, like he seems like he could go in and fix a company, you know?
Yeah.
He just seems like he's really good at telling you, you're kind of showing you how you act and where you're part of the problem.
Yeah. And I really appreciated it because it gave a visualization. He had this like relationship grid.
Right.
Where he actually took us into a room where there was like these boards.
I mean, as far as counseling goes, it was pretty simple. What do we see him three times?
I think it was like five times.
Was it five?
Yeah. Okay. But I mean, like he took us into a room where there was a bunch of colored boards mm-hmm. and showed us, you know, like the intimacy. There was like a square inside of a square
mm-hmm.
and how that's where you want to be is you want to be in the inner square, basically, in your relationship.
But we quickly saw within 2 minutes that we were at opposite ends of the outer square.
Yeah. And that we only connected in the red, meaning in the anger space.
Right.
Because we were so afraid, really, it comes down to insecurities, lack of confidence, and we were afraid of connecting in more intimate spaces. And that's because Joel and I became so unfamiliar with each other through the awakening process.
Yeah.
But it's been kind of fun because, at least for me, like once I realized what I would do and disassociate,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we were like in an argument or whatever. It was easier to recognize that and not get into a dissociated space and stay, you know, kind of in that inner square or more towards the inner square so that we weren't always connecting in anger.
Yeah.
The other thing that was huge, and I'm realizing that it all really leads back to communication. Like it really does. Like anytime we get a legitimate download or you work with plants, in any capacity, one of the first things to make integration easier is to tweak your communication. And, you know, so for me personally, I realized that I was interpreting Joel's micro gestures like I did the previous, you know, 10 years.
Yeah.
And that I was creating thought paradigms based on my interpretation of his micro gestures.
Yeah.
And that would create massive issues because I would then think you were mad at me.
You jump to conclusions, but while you're jumping to conclusions, I'm feeling not understood.
Right.
So, I mean, you having that aha helped us both.
Yeah. And so I felt really ridiculous, but I got Joel's permission to then ask you.
Yeah. It's been great.
Yeah.
I laugh because I'm glad that you're asking because then I can make sure that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm understood, or if I'm coming off like an asshole, I can correct.
Yeah.
You know?
So for instance, one time you were sitting at the dinner table and I think I was washing dishes or whatever. And I said something and you looked at me in a particular way. And I was like, wow, that, you know, that was rude. You know, immediately jumping to some conclusions, coming up with these elaborate thought paradigms.
Yeah.
And then I was like, hey, so I just interpreted your, you know, facial expression to mean da 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 da.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is that true? And I that's how I would do it with Joel. Like, is that true? And you would say, no. Actually, I was just thinking about getting up and getting some apples and peanut butter. And I was just blown away. Like,
which makes me sound like a retard.
No. No, it
doesn't.
I was
thinking about what I was going to eat.
Well, but this is a good example of how, you know, I think I was doing that when I really analyze it, it probably stems from angry mom.
Well, the joke is that you thought that I was thinking something.
Well, yeah.
Mean, and I'm thinking something so simplistic.
Right.
Like, feed me.
Right. But like, but here's the deal is that like,
yeah.
It stems from when I was a kid and my mom, I'd get into trouble because I wasn't able to guess what my mom wanted us to, you know, there was times where I would just out of the blue, my mom would smack me around and then be like, what did I do wrong? And she'd look at me like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You know, and so you're taught, you know, that you're supposed to read things like that and interpret things like that
as best you can.
Yeah. No, you're not supposed to. You're supposed to ask for clarification because
but that's how you were taught.
So what, how do you think this year has gone since I've started to ask for more clarification?
Great.
Great. Really put the spotlight on me as yeah. far as part of the big source of issues in a relationship.
Well,
it's okay. It's true. It's that that's the truth of it. The truth is that, you know, that's one of those subtle things on the fringe that doesn't seem so like such a big deal, but well, it was a big effing deal.
It was
deal.
A big deal. I'm super grateful.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, again, it just, we're on the same page all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the key is I have to be honest, which I am,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so, you know, like, for example, you know, you were asking me, you know, you seem like you were angry at dinner the other night. We had we had three of the four kids there, this and that. And then I copped to it. Yeah, I know. I don't know why I was feeling that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you're right. You picked up on me right. You know, and I think that's good. I think it's good. I don't care if you read me. Like, reading me when I'm in a bad mood and maybe you can help, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Misreading me when I'm in a good mood, think I'm in a bad mood, but clarifying is great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's all good.
Yeah, a lot of it has been, Joel and I have had to open up and be more intimate with each other, mm-hmm. unlike we've ever been before.
Yeah.
You know, intimacy really has nothing to do with sex.
No.
And, or at least that's what we've found, you know.
And you still like sex, though.
Yeah.
Ayahuasca didn't ruin that.
I know. Some people say that, you know, like it gets better, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm sure it has for other people. You know, for me, my experience has been just a little bit different. But then I also think that I thought sex was an expression of love, which it's not. That's not what sex is.
Well, I did too. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, it's definitely something fun to enjoy with somebody, you know, fun for sure. You know?
Right.
And I'm not going to tell anybody what it is or what I've determined it is, but but anyways, I mean, like, what else do we want to talk about here as far as
I think if you have the opportunity to do a plant medicine with your significant other,
mm-hmm.
I would highly recommend it.
Yeah,
you know, it's not always going to work out in your favor. You know, we know some people that like Daniel, for example, you know, from one of our buddies from a different country, his wife's not into that at all,
mm-hmm.
which makes it extremely difficult for him to work on their relationship. Cause for some reason he's still with her. I'm guessing he loves her,
mm-hmm.
but you know, they struggle.
Well, then you have someone like Paul though, who also has a
exactly.
wife.
Yeah.
She loves it. She loves that he goes off and does stuff like this.
Yeah.
But she has no interest in it and
But they still click,
yeah.
According to him.
Yeah. I just don't think we have to define any of that for anybody. I think everybody's going to figure out what works for them.
Yeah.
You know.
No, I mean, that's true. It's either going to happen or it's not going to happen. But, you know, I feel like, you know, for us, it was great.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Well, it felt great in the beginning. And then things took a very interesting, hard left turn. That I felt like I was in a washing machine for at least a 2.5, almost 3 years.
Right. But
it was like things were really, really good or things were really, really bad.
Yeah. But, you know, now.
Yeah.
I'm happy where things are going now.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like they'll continue to get better. We're a good example for our kids. So they know what a relationship looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I'm happier with myself as a human.
Yeah, and I think that was the biggest epiphany for me, again, was for us to work, mm-hmm. like the way that I kind of envisioned it to work, I had to focus on me.
Yeah.
And stop putting needs or expectations on you. You know, the minute that you, and most people that are listening to this probably already know this, you know, the minute that you have an expectation for your partner, whether that be, you know, what they're going to do or how they're going to behave or what they're going to do for you or whatnot, I mean, you might as well just sit and wait for a fight to happen, because people just aren't good at fulfilling any expectations that we have. Or the minute that you think that another person is going to fulfill a need for you. Which is another way of an emotional expectation,
mm-hmm.
you know, these aren't things, at least for something that I've seen, and these aren't things that I feel are right to put on anybody.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like that those, you know, needs are something that I should be fulfilling, you know, myself, and then sharing things, you know, with you. I want to be a fully sovereign, you know, independent, you know, emotionally mastered individual. I'll spend the rest of my life trying to come close to being that, mm-hmm. you know, but I've realized that, you know, life is a lot better just accepting, you know, you, how you are, instead of thinking about how it would be better if you just did, you know, fill in the blank.
Yeah. Well, I do that to myself enough anyways. I don't need anybody else.
Yeah. Well, the other thing we realized too was that, you know, I learned some things about Joel during marriage counseling that I just didn't know. Like, we'd get into a fight and then we'd have a good discussion at the end. And unbeknownst to me, you would go off and actually work on things, but you never communicated, hey, had this aha about, you know, the argument that we had. And these are the things that I'm doing to sort of tweak things, you know? And so for me, it was, oh, he doesn't care enough to want to try because you're not communicating those with me.
Yeah, I know. And for me, it was like, oh, you should share those. You know, again, I thought I was the best communicator in the world because my mom told me I was.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true at all. You know, I don't feel like in hindsight, I communicated bad. I just didn't have the skills and, you know, just mm-hmm. didn't feel confident enough or whatever. But, you know, yeah, I took all our conversations serious. I wanted to stay married. I wanted to stay in our relationship. And so I was working on everything. You know, it was after that one session with Chris and I'm like, okay, I'm going to start sharing these things. You know?
Well, I think my mouth hit, or my jaw hit the floor. I was like, what? Yeah. I'm like,
I listened to you.
I was so impressed and I thought it was so sexy.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. To hear you talk about these deep personal things that you had been experiencing and feeling. And I was like, oh my God, like.
He's keeping them to himself, bastard. I don't know why I didn't, you know, it was kind of like we'd have our fights and then we'd figure out, okay, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And we both kind of get our marching orders and I just mm-hmm. go do it.
Well, I think a lot of the times what happens is that partner couples, you know, will go and they'll work with entheogens together or even separately. And then they come home and you start deconstructing allopathic medicine, specifically talk therapy, and you realize it doesn't really work. And so mm-hmm. a lot of the times I think, couples then don't reach out to traditional marriage counselors for help. And I would challenge anybody that's struggling in their relationship to find somebody, a communication therapist, somebody that maybe understands
communication therapist. I would highly recommend
someone that has maybe, understands plant medicines that are more of a on the fringe, you know, couples therapist, and go see them, because I think it really does help.
Yeah.
I think it has a lot to do with so much to do with communication. I think it's all about communication.
Yeah.
Once you work past the, you know, needing to forgive.
Yeah.
You know, I think,
I don't know what a traditional therapist for couples is like. That's why I say communication guy. 'Cause like, that's all we talked about for the most part.
Yeah. It was literally about communication. Yeah. And Chris was really good about sharing with us perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But really, he just facilitated us being able to
have
open conversation.
Yeah.
Because one of the unfortunate things that had happened in our relationship is that we became afraid to express our feelings.
Yeah. Because, you know, that became a weapon.
Yeah. And it was weaponized.
Yep.
You know, and I think you and I were sick and tired of saying, you know, will you say this or cross this boundary, do this one more time.
Sick to death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we were also like, I got to a point again, the end of last year, where I did not want to waste any more of my time on earth, you know, fighting like blah. No,
I didn't want to waste any more time on earth or in space.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to figure out how we could cut through the literal bullshit and just get to what we needed to say to each other. Like, what was actually happening?
Yeah.
And the thing is that for me, you know, I know for you being heard is a big deal and being understood, you know, is a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, for me, it was, you know, I think it had a lot to do with just respect. You know, a lot of it was, this is my boundary. Don't treat me that way. Don't talk to me that way. I don't want, a lot of it has been for me over the last 6 years has been, yeah, you don't get to treat me that way.
Right.
And thankfully I have a partner that has listened.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't really, I mean, you know, that's how I grew up, right? We'd sling shit at each other. Like it was nobody's business.
And crazy.
Then we just forget about it.
Crazy character assassination.
We just forget about it.
Right. And I internalized all of it.
Yeah.
So Joel's like, I'm done with the fight. And I'm like,
you're like, but you called me a bitch. I was in a fight.
I'm like, I was, fuck,
get over it.
I'm obliterated.
Yeah.
I'd spend the next few months, you know, well, stewing and thinking about it and wondering, you know, like in my mind, there's a little bit of truth in fighting.
Well, that's easy to come to that conclusion because with most people, there's a lot of truth in right. the way you fight. So I had to kind of evaluate it myself and remind myself that the way I grew up was not a functional way to grow up.
Right.
That's not the way I want to be as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly not what I want to teach my kids.
Yeah. And I think that was one of the biggest motivators was we have little people that are observing us. Do we really want our sons to grow up thinking that this is how you treat a woman?
No.
And do we really want our daughters growing up thinking that this is how women are, you know, to be treated and vice versa? Like, no, we did not. We wanted to be able to show our kids through example that you can have a disagreement and that you can also, yes, it might get a little heated, but that you can have a conversation.
Right.
It doesn't have to be hours of slinging shit before you can get to the actual real issue.
Right.
Yeah. That we were over the drama. I think that's really what it is that you and I had this moment of like, okay, we're just, no.
There's drama.
Yeah.
Everywhere. We don't need to have drama in our house.
That's right.
And again, if we're making the choice of like, I'm not going to break up with you, you're not going to break up with me, well, then what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah. And I can blame
Let's
that.
Make it good.
I can blame that on me. Good. Joel has always been 100% in. I think there was only one time where you basically said, you know what, let's get a divorce. I'm done.
Yeah, but I'm sure he didn't mean it.
On the other hand, there was a while there where, you know, Cammy was slinging that kind of shit all the time.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's your run program.
But I think for me, I realized that. And I realized mm-hmm. that I what I did and what I like to do is I wear other people. That's what I say. So like I took a day, probably went out, smoked a mapacho and sat at the river and put you and wore you. And I thought about some of the things that I had been saying to you. And I thought about it as if you had said those to me. And one of the things that just really hurt every time I reflected it back at myself was, you know, how quick I was to be like, I want a divorce.
Yeah.
Like, let's end this. Like, I'm not doing this anymore. And I was thinking like, how would that feel if, you know, Joel was so quick to do that with me? And that kind of led me down a path of, you know, well, why do I do that? Why do I want to bolt? Why do I want to run? You know, I know enough to know that I will have the exact same issues that I'm having with you in any other relationship, you know? So why not just stay? And that's when I realized I had a choice. I had to go all in or I legitimately had to kind of quote, let you go.
Yeah.
And I started thinking about what life would be like, you know, without you and two separate households and the stress that would put on the kids. But I just kept on coming back to, I will miss my best friend.
You'd be sleeping at my house.
I know. I know. I would be right. Like, I'm making this for dinner. Extended, do you want to come over? I mean,
yeah. I mean, the only extended time we spent apart was when you were in Peru.
I know. It was awful.
In 15 years.
I know. And that was so hard. I mean,
yeah.
There was not one
hard
time.
For me too.
One time I didn't come back where I was just like, I'm so grateful. Yeah. Like I did a 7-day plant dieta, almost 7-day plant dieta, where you just sit in silence. And after about, like 24 hours.
You're like, oh God.
I only made it a day. And it was hell. It was like time legitimately just stopped. I lived like a year and a day. And I remember wishing that I could go back and have a brawl with you. Like, like that's, you know, that even that connection was something that I wanted.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I wanted, you know, to fight with you, but like I would have done anything to transport back, you know, to have some kind of connection with you. And, you know, and I think there's something to be said to go all in, you know, and when you have some, I mean, we're really lucky. I know we're lucky, you know, that we both, you know, want to do the work together.
I know more people that have come home from a sanctuary trip and have just called it.
Yeah, me
got
too.
A divorce.
Or they get to that, what feels like a breaking point, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times you'll hear people then blame core values. You know, our core values shifted. Well, yeah, of course they shifted. They're supposed to shift. But when you find somebody, when you find someone that you legitimately want the very best for them, and you're not going to impede their evolutionary journey, or vice versa, you know, and you love each other and you laugh a lot, you know, those perceivable breaking points are actually where so much growth happens, not just for the relationship, but for you personally, because you're really getting into the weeds at that point. Like, relationships are reflections, you know, or allow you to see what you need to see within yourself.
Yeah.
And there lies in a lot of ego work, because you don't want to admit that. I didn't want to admit, like, for instance, I thought we were going to see a communication therapist because of you. Wow. Surprise.
It was for both of us.
But
the mirror thing is actually a really, really important thing to notice.
Yeah.
You know, you kept saying it and I was just like, shut the fuck up. I am not, whatever I say to you is not meant for me. Like, I was adamant for the longest time that I'm like, all right, I'm just going to look at it just one time. Well, just one time, whatever I say to her, I'm going to think about that for me. And then I was like, yeah, she's right.
It's deep spiritual work. Like,
yeah,
you know, you have to roll up your sleeves and you have to make some peace with your ego, or just have a conversation with the ego. Like, hey, you're not serving me very well here. I don't want to fight with the person that I see as my family, who's the father of my children, like this anymore. Like, what do I need to see within myself? Like, you know, and I remember us having some massive fights, and I go to the river. And at some point, you know, after the crying and the victimization, you know, talk in my head, I'd finally reflect it back at me. And it was all true. In fact, I started doing this thing where I'd write down everything that was annoying me about you. And, you know, I get like a page of notes. This was years ago, like page of notes. And then I would go through every single line item and go, you know, am I doing this? Am I doing this? And it, I mean, like 100% of the time it was me and not you. And those are the important things, I think, after plant medicines, that just sort of come up. Like, if you're, if you're willing to do that kind of work with your partner, where you start to reflect back at yourself, the judgments that you have with the partner.
Yeah.
And I'm not telling anybody that's in an abusive relationship to stay, you know?
No.
Anyone that's not, if you're in a relationship with someone that doesn't
We were in an abusive relationship.
But after ayahuasca, or after doing plant medicines, if you find yourself in a relationship with someone that isn't supportive of you evolving and doing any sort of spiritual work, or self-actualization.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you've really got to find you got to follow your gut instincts, you know, as well. But I mean, if you've built a life with somebody and they're your family and you laugh a lot and you know, things just have felt wonky since after working with plant medicines, and you're having a really hard time integrating, you know, I mean, like, honestly, I would go seek out a communication therapist.
Yeah.
Or a specialist, someone that specializes in communication.
I mean, plant medicines, you know, they unwind you, right? So they unwind you, they clear out the clutter, they get rid of the noise, the echoes, and now your consciousness has room to expand.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you, on one hand, you don't want anything holding you back.
Right.
What are we doing on this planet? I mean, I don't know. None of us really know what the entire point is, but it seems like it feels good. You know, it seems like that's definitely a route to go. You know, if I was holding you back, I wouldn't have blamed you at all.
Yeah.
You know, or vice versa, you know, because what's the point of healing yourself if you're just going to stop short?
Right.
You know, keep going.
Well, and there's no end. And I think.
Yeah. You got to get to that point where you're like, okay, so this is life now.
Right. Because at one point, one of your biggest complaints was, I just want to, like, almost like I want to get to the finish line so that we can just live.
Yeah.
And it really wasn't until, again, the end of last year, even the beginning of this year, that we were like, oh, wait, our relationship.
It was like springtime of this year. Okay. I mean, let's be real.
So it wasn't until April that we realized that, okay, no, this is a process and we're going to constantly be doing this and we're constantly going to be breaking down and getting deeper into, I guess you could say, our relationship, and we're going to break some things down and we're going to build some things back up. And at some point we just decided that we were going to focus more on how fun it was going to be
right.
to kind of reinvent the relationship, you know?
Yeah. Well, adjust your expectations, right? So your expectations are my expectations were, okay, no more finish line. Mm-hmm. That when it comes up, I'm going to pay attention to it. It's very much kind of like an ayahuasca experience.
It totally is.
Yeah. So it's like, there's times where I have to focus and I got to work on something, whether it's between you and I, or just with myself.
Right.
And then there's moments of nothing. You're just kind of being, you're mm-hmm. resting,
you're integrating,
enjoying life.
You're integrating. Yeah. Like, we're really kind of trying out some of those,
yeah.
you know, those things.
When you embrace it like that, instead of constantly looking for the finish line, like I was doing, and like, when is this going to be over? And holy fuck, what did I get myself into?
I'm so tired.
And it's kind of like when you're like, well, no, well, that's one way to look at it.
Yeah.
Another way to look at it is, this is life now.
And this is how we've chosen to live our life now.
But it's that spiritual saying, and I'm not trying to throw spiritual lingo, but you get in the flow. And when you get in the flow, holy shit, it's way more enjoyable.
Yeah. And when it's time to expand.
Expand.
Well, you make it sound so easy.
Yeah.
It's time to expand.
You flip that switch. Expand.
Eat some chocolate. Oh, wait, not that kind of expand.
it's almost Christmas. That's the expansion I've been doing. I'm going to look so sexy in February. You wait. As for right now, give me another piece of chocolate.
Whatever. I mean, yeah, I think it's a journey. Like, isn't that cliche? And I think
it's our path.
I think a lot of it too was, you know, where we're at right now had a lot to do with what level of letting go.
Yeah.
We were going to let go.
Let it go.
But it's true. Like, at some point we had to accept the fact that we had a history that was incredibly tumultuous,
yeah,
and abusive.
And we both did things that we regret and we're not proud of.
But at some point we decided, okay, well, raking ourselves with the other person over the coals about these things is no longer productive and it would ultimately destroy us.
Yeah. And also accepting that that's who we were. That's where we're never going back, you know, and wanting to repair it together.
Right.
Like, you can't.
Yeah. And I guess the good thing for me, like on a personal level, like I have never felt so consistent.
Oh yeah.
You know, and yeah. I think that helps too, is that we both have this, we have some consistency.
Yeah.
You know, and we want to be the very best person that we can be.
Yeah.
And that's a benefit in a relationship when both people are focusing with, you know, on themselves and within themselves and doing their own work.
Yeah.
To then come together and share a life together.
Yep.
And, you know, that's really and truly what we're doing every day. That doesn't mean that we don't argue.
No.
I mean, there's still days where I get triggered or you get triggered. And now, and then it's really about really kind of trying to figure out the trigger, like what the stressor was, what was said, try and quickly understand the ego issues, or, you know, why the ego got triggered, whatever. And then attempt to resolve it through communication.
Yeah. Well, and for me, I had to let go of the idea of winning.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I'm an asshole.
Yeah. Tell me about that.
Sometimes I'm an asshole and I need to, rather than try to figure out how I can apologize, but still win. Mm. Let's just apologize. Let's just own our shit.
Where do you think that comes from?
My family. That's the way we were brought up. That's what, like, that's epigenetics. Like that,
epigenetics.
Yeah, everybody in my family is like that. We always try to win. Like, yeah, for sure. I can confidently say that. That's not a me thing. Yeah. We are all the same.
Well, it's also reinforced in movies. It's reinforced in sitcoms. Yeah. So, like, we grew up where Friends, the TV show, was
Sunday
on.
Dinner at my house was picking on someone. Someone.
Yeah, right.
You know, sometimes it was an in-law. They're dorks anyways. You know, so me and my brother would, like, you know, just pick an in-law, just dig on them.
And then you just start to zing until you guys felt like you had conquered them.
Kind of.
Like little goats.
Then my sisters would have to step up and defend their dorky, you know. I don't talk to anybody in my family again, so I don't even. So it's, I mean, we're not. That's why we don't talk anymore. Like we're not a match. There's no good way for the family dynamics that I grew up in to end well.
Okay, so
we all have to change and evolve together, or else we just got to go our separate ways.
So back to why it is that you felt like you needed to win.
I just think that was probably, oh, back to you and me. No, I just think that's my program. That's what I did.
Do you think that, like, the TV show Friends had a lot to do with that? Because you're watching other adults go through real life experiences and then you're looking at how they handled them.
I mean, I think that reinforces it, but I can confidently tell you I was an asshole before Friends was even on the air.
I know, but I'm just saying that, do you think that maybe like even before that? So then, you know, TV shows you watched as a kid, like you had the scene going, you had the scene playing out in real life with mom and dad, and then you had the scene playing out in sitcoms, like, okay, well, if this happens, then this is the appropriate response.
Yeah, I'm sure that all contributed, but my mom always had to win too.
Oh, did she?
Yeah. I mean, her whole, like, I'm a lot like my mom. Have to be heard, have to be understood. That was my mom's whole MO. Have to be heard and have to be understood, in a way, is like saying you have to win.
Isn't it a little frustrating to think how much of our dysfunction comes from our parents?
It's fucking awful that to be in my 40s and I still think about some of the bullshit I went through as a kid and how that molded me into who I am now.
Well, you know, and it's hard to dip into that, into your childhood, to see what you want to see without clicking into victimization programming.
Yeah. I mean, before, not so much anymore. Now I kind of have a chuckle, you know,
says it's like, the man that just called his brother-in-law's what?
Dorks.
I'm just kidding.
I mean, like, look, there's, I think, I mean, not to go on this tangent, but being spiritual doesn't mean being nice to everybody. Right. There are certain people I just don't like.
Wait, what? I don't have to be in the light, love and light? Love and poverty program?
No, you can have...
Oh, let's go on a tangent for a second.
You can have a box of shit, and that's where you put people. Like, I'm going to put him in the shit box.
Yeah, I think the longest time I thought that being spiritual meant that I let people walk on me, that I didn't use my voice. Uh-huh. That I was always calm and used words like...
You did. What did I always say?
Like constructive.
I was like, no, I think I get to choose not to like that person.
And awareness. Yeah, no. And I think you were so... But see, that's the thing. That's the difference between you and me.
Yeah.
Is it, see, every boundary that you could ever have crossed with me, crossed on a human, was crossed by the time I was 3.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't know how to establish boundaries. Boundaries for me have always felt like something mean I do to other people.
Yeah.
And, you know, recently with what's going on,
I think a lot of people feel like that. I do too.
Yeah. Recently, but you've always been good at establishing boundaries, and you were always good at establishing boundaries with me. Like, I knew exactly what not to push, what not to do, what I could or could not say. I mean, it was always, you were very communicative when it came to those types of things. And I was more like, you know, licking my paws in the corner, and then on the DL tried to, you know, backhandedly manipulate you into respecting my boundaries.
Right.
You know, and I think that's been one of the most liberating things.
I feel like I grasped that
request
the quickest.
The boundaries? That if I tell you don't, like, that this you is a boundary?
Said, I am a sovereign woman.
Yeah.
And I will not be controlled. I didn't really realize I was controlling.
I don't think most men know that they're doing that.
Because, like, you ask me, I'm like, do you control women? Well, of course not. I look at everyone as the same. Mm-hmm. But then when we started talking about my behavior, oh, fuck, I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, that was the one I broke down the quickest. Like, no, you're your own person. Be you.
Yeah. You know? And you have you have like been my biggest cheerleader.
Hell yeah.
There have been some times where I'm in awe of just the compassion, the understanding, the support, like, you know, no, Cammy, you should go do this. Oh no, do that. You know, like, no, if you need to go sit in your own energy and take the weekend,
I'm in awe of you after you took mushrooms the first time.
Oh.
Because I watched your pain, a big bulk of it, go away. So, yeah. So that's where it started.
That's sweet.
Well, it's true.
Hard swallow.
Nom, nom.
Okay. Well, so, I mean, when you look back at, you know, and I'm sure that, you know, we're, sometimes I feel like that we're just starting on our relationship journey together now that we're a little bit more aware, or I should say we've taken the time this last year to sort of figure out, like, we've decoded some things.
Yeah.
You know, and again, it all leads back to, you know, communication, you know.
Well, communication, it also leads back to the ability to, you know, put yourself, your behavior, your words, your thoughts under a microscope for a second.
And, you know, how much do you think honesty contributes to where we're at right now?
I mean, honesty is everything.
Yeah. We realized secrets have no place in a relationship, but they have really no place within, you know, our personal journeys either.
Right.
So that was difficult.
Purging. As above, so below. So the government's starting to go through that right now.
so we did this whole thing where we purged all of our secrets, and then it took some time to integrate all of that and sort of actualize, you know, that. But, you know, I think the message I'd like, you know, or what I'd like to say about it is that there's something to be said that when you find somebody that is, you know, on the journey with you and that you resonate with big time and they're a great friend, you know, and or a great lover, and you have kids together and you have a family together, there's something about just going all in. If you haven't gone all in your relationship yet, go all in your relationship.
Yeah.
And use honesty as your ally and start getting really real with yourself.
Yeah.
And watch the relationship completely shift and change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you don't actually have to tell your partner necessarily what you're doing, because as you shift and change what's going on within yourself, and you become a little softer or you start to communicate a little bit better, you'll see your partner respond to this just based off of the example that you're setting for them.
Mm-hmm.
When you have two people that are aware of this, which again, I know we're so lucky because we're both aware of this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been one of the most beautiful, it's been really difficult at times, but it's been one of the most beautiful things that I have ever been a part of ever in my entire existence.
Yep.
And I mean, you know, we're 43 and 45. I mean, we haven't even lived half of our life, or at least I like to think that, you know? And so I just keep on thinking, well, shit, where are we going to be here in the next, you know, 20 years, you know, 40 years?
Yeah.
You know? Maybe we'll finally be worthy enough to ascend.
Oh.
Just kidding.
God, I hope so.
Well, anyways.
This 3D life, man. Give me to 5D.
I'm like, Mr.
If people Mr. listening Joel, don't know what we're talking about, just Google that shit. It's funny.
No, I think at this point.
Or don't.
Yeah, I know anytime someone starts like, we're in the 4D and we're ascending to the 5D. I'm like, guys, we haven't even actualized 3D yet. Like, we still pretend that we're on X, Y axis. We haven't even actualized the Z one.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, that's what third dimension is. I mean, come on now. Yeah. I think just, again, the megalomaniac spiritual egos really want to believe that we're a lot further along than where we're at.
Don't even look at that shit. Yeah. Just focus on yourself.
Word.
And if you're in a relationship, put some time in, you know, it's worth it.
Yep. Communication, communication, communication. Right?
Yeah.
Well, and if you think about it, and I know we got to wrap up, but when you think about it, that's one of the first things that most people start to analyze when they are, you know, when they've worked with the plant medicine is the inner communication.
Uh-huh.
So it sort of makes sense. Like, if you can kind of map out what worked for you, you know, whatever your process is, like, I've got a 5-step process: forgiveness, compassion, unconditional love, acceptance, and then let it go. Right? That's my process. everybody has a different process, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's probably a little similar to my process because everybody seems to get kind of that same download. But my point is that like whatever that process is that you use for within yourself, that process could work for your relationship as well. And if you think back to what really created the most amount of results
mm-hmm.
for you personally, most likely applying that same, you know, process with your relationship, you're going to get some good results.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Anyway, well,
I like you.
We got to go run carpool now. we got kids we got to pick up.
Yeah. Well, little ones. Anyway, thank you all you different countries for listening to us.
Yes. Thank
Super
you.
Super cool. Love to have conversation. So I don't know what your... Well,
let's talk about that. We're on YouTube. We are on Facebook.
Mostly on YouTube. I mean, I'm still trying to work out the bugs on YouTube and Facebook specifically, okay. But they're both there. Like you could communicate with us. You could email us at the ayahuasca parents podcast at gmail.com.
The ayahuasca parents podcast at gmail.com.
Yeah. I know that's long, but that's the name of our podcast.
You know what? I'll put that in our description this time.
Sorry. I mean, and you know, again, our whole point of doing this is to share our experiences, to pass on some good information, and to kind of build a tribe. So we'd love to talk to whomever.
Yeah, we'd love to hear your insights. We'd love you know, to hear any questions that you have. Well, if we've had similar experiences, we'd be happy to share you know, what's worked, you know, with us.
We're open books, and I mean, like, if you want to email us your questions, we'd be happy to, you know, if they're not personal questions, I think we'd be happy to discuss them. Anyway,
well, have a wonderful day in whatever corner of the earth you find yourself.
Yes.
May you have more.
Yes. All right. Bye.
All right. Bye.